that's full of all type of turmoil. Praise God, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, praise God, and when we think about what he did on Calvary, praise God, we ought to be standing on our feet. Praise God, some of us ought to be doing twipsy twirls. Praise God, because he has brought us from a mighty long way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking about putting your trust in the hands of a loving God. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about putting your trust in some dead president. Praise God. I'm talking about putting your trust in the hands of a loving God. I'm talking about a God who will walk with you. I'm talking about a God who will talk with you. I'm talking about a God who will comfort you in the lowest point of your life.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast. You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
Now, this is a church that stood before the open door of blessings. They were taking the gospel to the world. It was a church that obeyed the word and honored Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it was a type of church that God blessed and hell couldn't handle. Amen. And that's my subject this morning, the church that hell cannot handle. Amen. Look with me now at the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Beginning with verse number 7. Revelation chapter 3. Those of you novice Bible readers, that's the last book in your Bible. All right, that's all right. We all had to start somewhere. Verse number 7 begins by saying, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not defiled my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie indeed. I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which come down out of the heaven from God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You may be seated. Ushers, you may be relaxed. Let me begin by saying that the Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross, he made a statement concerning his church. And look at what Jesus said according to Matthew 16 and 18. He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, in this passage, Jesus tells us a little about the character of the church he's going to build. First, he said that the church is built upon himself and not Peter, as some interpret that passage. Jesus himself is the foundation which the church stands. But then Jesus says that his church is to be a militant church, because he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But now, gates are not offensive weapons, but they are defensive in nature. And so the church Jesus describes in this passage was not a body of weak, oppressed people who were sitting around in fear, waiting on the next attack from the devil. But instead, the church Jesus pictures is one that is on the move. They're active in the Lord's work, and they're charging the very strongholds of hell itself, because they do not operate in fear, but they operate in faith. Literally, the church Jesus came to found is a church that hell cannot handle. And so in the text, as we consider the church at Philadelphia, I need to tell us that this church has been described in various ways over the years, because many have called it a weak little church. But I just want to call your attention to the fact that of all the seven letters to the seven churches, this is the only church that didn't receive a rebuke of any kind. Because when Jesus wrote to this church, everything he has to say to them was positive. And so with that in mind, note, if you will, that in this letter, if Jesus is kept at the center of who we are and what we do, he will be glorified, and we will grow as a result. And so this morning, I'd like for us to spend a little time on this church at Philadelphia in order for us to get a clear picture of the kind of church that hell cannot handle. Because if we're going to pick any of the seven churches as a pattern or a model, then I hope this is the church that we would choose. That's why I want to draw our attention to a word that is used three times. Now, in the New King James Version, it's only used one, but in the Old King James Version, it's used three times, and that word I'm talking about is behold. And in the Old King James Version, it's used in verse 8, 9, and 11. But in the New, it's only used in verse 11. But now, using this word, Jesus is calling on this church to make some observations. He's telling them to look. In other words, there are some observations that the Lord wants the church at Philadelphia to consider. Now, these observations that are some of the observations that I would like for us at the Mount Olive Church to look at as well. Because I think these verses tell us how to be the kind of church that hell cannot handle. And so let's make some observations together this morning. And first of all, let's consider the opportunities that's found in verse 7 and 8. Because the word behold is given to draw our attention to certain opportunities that the Lord has made available to his church. And these same opportunities are available to every church that will walk in the will of God. But let us look first at the character of our master. My brothers and sisters, Jesus comes to this church and he reveals himself as one in control of everything. And he reminds them that he is to be the focus of their faith and the hub around which the wheels of their service turns. Three things are revealed in verse 7 and 8 about Christ. Number one, we see his personality. It says that he is holy and he's true. There's no sin and there's no deception in the Lord. He's all he claims to be, and his motives are always pure. And therefore, Christ is the dependable one. You can depend on him. Secondly, we see his power. Jesus is described as holding the key of David. Now, this is a reference to Isaiah chapter 22, where a faithful man by the name of Eliakim was named the steward of Hezekiah. He was given the key of David. In other words, this referred to the fact that Eliakim had access to all the riches that belonged to the king. Now, this Old Testament passage is used as an illustration by our Lord, because he, the Lord I'm talking about, is the faithful administrator of the riches of the kingdom of his Father. Now, this reveals to us that as he leads us through the ministry that he's given us, he's faithful to provide all of our needs that will help us to do whatever job that he calls us to do. And so since he has the keys, he also has the power to open and close doors as he sees fits. Bottom line of all this is that Jesus is in control of the church. He's in charge of seeing that her needs are met, and he's in charge of the direction of her ministry, that her ministries will take. Because Jesus is to be enthroned as and recognized as the head of the church. There's only one head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, Ephesians 5:23, that Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But then verse 8 reveals also his perception, because he tells them, I know your works. That is, he knows everything that they were doing, how they were doing it, and what their motives were behind what they were doing. He knows when they kept pushing on the door that he already closed before them. And he knows all that there is about them. And not only that, he knows everything about us. Secondly, we see the call for mission. Notice he says, I've set before you an open door. In other words, Jesus now moved to tell them that he's given them an open door of opportunity to minister to the world. In other words, the Lord called them to represent his name in that day. And he assured them that he went before them and he paved the way for their success. And my brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that he's done the same for us today. Because this church was not founded by the Lord without reason. But Jesus allowed the Mount Olive Church to be born for a purpose, and that purpose has not changed, and I believe it hasn't really been fully realized. My brothers and sisters, God has called the Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, and he places before us an open door of opportunity in the world. Now, our duty is to find out what it is, and we have to walk through that door by faith. Because when God opens a door, no one can shut it. And when God closes a door, no one can open it up. Then verse 8b reveals the consistency of their ministry. Because another opportunity these people possessed was the consistency with which they carried out their ministry. Notice says, you have little strength. Now, two thoughts are mentioned here. Number one, and that is their weakness. Now, these people are described as possessing a little strength. But remember what Jesus said to the church at Sardis. Now, they had a reputation of being strong, but Jesus said they were dead. The church at Laodicea thought they were powerful and they didn't need nothing. Yet Jesus told them that they were lukewarm, and he made them sick of his stomach. But yet this church, which was probably small in size, poor in the financial realm, is described as having little strength. But now, while this church was weak in the eyes of men, and perhaps even in their own eyes, their weakness was love, in fact, their greatest strength. In other words, what Jesus is telling us this morning is that our weaknesses forces us to place a greater dependence upon the Lord. And when we do this, the result is that heaven's power will be working in us and through us. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, concerning Paul's prayer for deliverance because of a thorn in his flesh. Paul said, I pray.